This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Woo, life is so much better. With Carla Dawson in studio for hour number two, we did not have her most of hour number one. The light bulb has gone on back in the studio. Why not?
Just tell my family that they would laugh.
There was a topic that we were holding for your return. Ron and I were debating this. So, you know more about fashion. You are the gloss. You know a lot more about how to dress, how to look good. And then Ron over there, well, he just sort of dresses like Bill Belichick. And so my question to you was...
No torn sleeves.
Bill Belichick's outfit yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, what was the deal there? I understand he's a coach. He can wear a sweatshirt. Maybe even I'll go with the hoodie. But the torn up sleeves and the faded purple?
Well, I can't decide if it was a vintage Patriots torn sweatshirt.
It's not.
It's not? Okay, so was the purple then to pay homage to Minnesota for having the Super Bowl? What was the purple?
I don't know what the purple was.
Because I thought if it's vintage, it's been washed so many times, on a new hue.
Maybe that's the look... That it's being, you know, it's being produced as a vintage look, but I'm pretty sure that every sweatshirt he gets has sleeves.
Okay. Well, I think yes.
And
this is kind of
his. Then he cuts them off because they're never even.
Okay, so he cuts the sleeves.
He always cuts the sleeves off,
and he must like his biceps.
Well, I almost understand the cutting of the sleeves, but the whole of the outfit yesterday and the coloring and everything else, it just didn't work. I don't get it.
That's his signature look.
He knows that the whole world is watching him. There are only a few moments in life when that many people have eyeballs fixated on him, and he looked awful.
I mean, did you see him pregame? Before the game started, I mean, it actually caught me by surprise. He was walking on the field, just trying to check the field out, and he's wearing a suit and tie. And it really,
kidding.
Yeah, it didn't settle with me right either. I had the same look you just
did. Yeah. I'm looking dazed and confused.
Well, don't you, Carla Dawson, ever come in here with those sleeveless things and an old purple sweatshirt.
You do not want me to just flash my biceps, right?
You would not be the gloss.
My guns.
Now, she's true to form. Ron Culver, though, we expected of him.
That's right.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to dive into the NBA. We're going to figure out what the heck is going on in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So it's been a tough week for the Cleveland Cavaliers and all things LeBron. First of all, one of the most interesting games I saw was the Rockets-Cavaliers game. The Rockets clobbered the Cavaliers. And that was a part of a really tough week. Rockets looked very good. I mean, this was not even a contest.
It wasn't. And, you know, I'll tell you, LeBron, I'm just going to put this on him because he controls his own narrative. But he is clearly not only the leader of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he is a player coach. He'd like to be the player manager. He'd like to be the player GM. He was not a leader in that game. I don't know if you saw it, but his effort was not there. He was really easily frustrated. Things were not going his way. And the lack of effort, you can't do that as the front runner, as the front man on that team. And that to me was the most glaring and surprising thing. That is not what we're used to seeing with LeBron. And that just told me. And then later in the game, he had his head in his hands, you know, sitting on the bench. That you cannot lead like that. That sends the worst signal to your team. And if you've got the best player, arguably the best player in the NBA, maybe ever, that has thrown in the towel like that, he's done. He's done in Cleveland. He doesn't care. That's what that said to me.
Well, you talk about leadership and the signal you send. Clearly the signal out there now is that LeBron is just, well,
biding his time,
and he's going to move on from Cleveland into the end of the year. the articles that come out. Well, this is one of the things. Some of this he controls, some of it he doesn't.
Well, he controls everything that he wants to be said.
But there are so many voices out there. There's so many people speculating where he will go. So obviously one of the big stories was that, well, LeBron will go on to Golden State, that he'll join forces on the Death Star and they'll be the unbeatable team. So let's hear what LeBron had to say.
I mean, I woke up. I got up early. Ate breakfast, went back to sleep. So when I woke up, it was the first thing. That was kind of on my phone. I got an alert on my phone, and a few people had hit me about it, whatever or whatnot. The first thing I did is start laughing, actually. And then I thought about it. I think it's doing a it's nonsense, and it's a non-story. And I think it's a discredit to what I'm trying to do here. It's a discredit to my teammates and the coaching staff here. My only focus right now is trying to, you know, figure out how we can become a championship caliber team in these next few months. And there's been so many stories about me in the last few months and the last few days about where I'm going and where I'm at and what place I'm in. I'm here, I'm right here, I'm right now, and this is my present, this is where I'm at. If you don't hear something come from my voice, then it's not true.
But we can see something come from your Twitter account, and you tweet all the time. So I don't want to hear about it. I really, did you notice? This is what I'm saying about controlling his own narrative.
Yep.
The very first thing he said in that media session was, so I woke up to a bunch of texts. I woke up real early. I get up early. Right there, he's letting you know. You know, I'm already in the gym. I'm doing my stuff. I'm up before the rest of the world because I am the king. That was the first thing.
Right.
And then when he said, you know, it's a discredit to what I'm trying to do here, these rumors. Well, this was before the Rockets game on Saturday. What are you trying to do here? What I saw you're trying to do is just get through this. That's not what a team leader does. So I don't like this. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Well, the notion that
I expect more from him.
He's here and we don't need to think about next year. I mean, is there any mystery with the Cavaliers right now? Give him a max contract. If he walked in and said, hey, I want a max contract right now, will you do it? Of course the Cavaliers, they need LeBron.
Yes, they
LeBron
do.
Goes, that franchise tanks. LeBron is the team. So there it is. There's a max contract available to him and he's not taking it. Which means,
and he has no intention of taking.
He's planning on going elsewhere.
So he's acting like, "Well, look at all these stories." But what he's not doing is putting the rumors to rest and saying, "I am in Cleveland for this season. I am in Cleveland, and we'll talk about next season." He's not saying that. He's saying, "Those aren't my words." Do 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 do. I don't like it. It's very manipulative.
So
he's controlling what he wants to get.
Do you
out
buy
there.
The rumors at all with Golden State?
No.
No way he lands there.
He doesn't land there. They don't need him. They beat him 2 of 3 times. They don't need him.
Well, they'd have to remove some players in order to bring him in, and that's the really hard thing. You'd be dissecting the heart of that team.
Right. And they've already had players sacrifice Kevin Durant to make room to keep the Andre Iguodala's. Clay's going to be coming up soon to make room for Steph's max. They're not going to move this for LeBron.
But it's a fascinating hypothetical. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry.
Oh, Adam Silver, I think he'd be like 4 paws up with that one. He would not like that. That's too much.
Okay, what about LeBron to the Rockets?
Okay, well, Daryl Morey, our GM, he is gutsy and he is risky, but he's a sabermetrics guru.
Yes.
I don't see that he's going to look at that and see that that is going to put us that much. I don't know. I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference for the dollar amount that he's going to, you know.
Well, they'll exceed the luxury tax if they can somehow manage the cap and fit him in. Imagine a threesome: Harden, Paul, and James. Aren't you swayed by that?
There's not enough ball to go around. I'm not. I don't. The one thing I love about the Houston teams, and it's always been this way, you know, with the championship teams in the early 90s,
yep,
led by Akeem Olajuwon, and then Clyde Drexler and Kenny Smith and those Mario Elie, these were humble workhorse type of guys.
Yep,
they have the exact same thing now. They don't usually have ego. Ego doesn't work in Houston, and LeBron is ego. Hey, LeBron is amazing. Obviously, he's a transcendent talent, but he brings a lot with him. We're talking about him. You can talk about him every day. He's got a tweet, a press conference. He's got a soundbite always.
Okay, so Cavaliers really struggling now. Isaiah Thomas is not proven to be what everybody had hoped. He's certainly no Kyrie Irving, who I think was underestimated when he was with the Cavaliers. Is there any way the Cavaliers can right this ship this year? I mean, they got a trading deadline coming up. I don't know that there's a magic bullet that Thursday they'll be able to bring in somebody that gets the team on track.
You know, I think the person to get the team on track, I'm just going to keep going back to the King.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was asked about the Isaiah Thomas trade just this past week. And he said, you have to ask the front office about that. He did not confirm that, hey, I'm fired up. IT's here. He's come off of hip surgery. He's still getting his legs under him. We're working it together. He didn't support that.
Yep.
He said, you go ask the front office. In other words, I didn't want this. That is not the way to get the team together. So I don't think any player is going to be able to come in and make the difference. It's a culture shift that's going on that needs to happen in that locker room, and it needs to be start with him.
Well, and meanwhile, the team on the other side of that IT trade, the Boston Celtics soaring here. I mean, they really look like the class of the East right now. Hard to see the Cavaliers turning around in a short period of time. Celtics did just pick up Greg Monroe. He's a guy who can really help them on the inside in the low post. He'll add some offense to their second unit. I mean, that was a nice addition to the Celtics team.
It was a great addition to the Celtics team and a great gift for Greg Monroe. Early Merry Christmas. Get yourself out of Phoenix and look where you are. So that's really wonderful. But I think too, seeing Kyrie away from LeBron, you really can understand that there was friction in that relationship. Because I think with LeBron, as long as he remains tip-top and no one is threatening his reign as his status as a player.
As the alpha player.
As the alpha player. That's
the alpha male on that team.
Yes. He's fine with them.
Right.
But as you see, Kyrie is the best ISO player in the league. I mean, it's just dizzying watching him. I mean, that matchup a few weeks ago with Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving was a thing of beauty. Like, I loved it. That is pure talent and pure respect for one another. But I can see that he and LeBron were not going to mesh in that locker room anymore because Kyrie was too good. He was threatening to, I mean, that sounds silly to say threatening LeBron, but LeBron was feeling, hey, like not too much for him. And I think that's where LeBron used to be such a big fan of Steph Curry's at Davidson, really pulling along this young, you know, smaller stature guy. And then he won not two MVPs in a row and one unanimous, which LeBron's never had a unanimous MVP. And not so much. We don't like him so much anymore. So it's funny. He acts different when he feels threatened.
Well, I'm going to stand on record right
now. Dr. Ruth or whoever, Dr. Phil, whatever I am now.
Yes, you can do that. Well, I'm going to stand on record. I think it's the Celtics and the Warriors. I think it's going to be Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving matching up. It's going to be a great NBA Finals East-West. When we come back, we're actually going to shift gears. We're going to go back to the NFL. We get a chance to talk to Blair Brown. He's an inside linebacker for the Jaguars. We'll talk to him about the Jaguars' great season and how they would have fared in the big game if they had played the Eagles. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day with O'Reilly.
And there you have it.
So joining us now on SB Nation Radio, this is a real treat. We get Blair Brown. He's the inside linebacker of the Jaguars. Blair, are you on with us?
Yes, sir. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks. You've got David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome in, Blair.
All right, thank you.
All right, so I have to ask the obvious first question. If the Jaguars had faced off against the Eagles, could you all have stopped? You've got a great defense. Could you all have slowed down Nick Foles and the Eagles and actually come out with a win?
I believe so. I think so. I think we have a good, defense and a great defensive front. I think we would have had a great chance of shutting it down.
So we're talking to Blair Brown. He's an inside linebacker of the Jaguars. So here's what I want to ask you, Blair. If, let's say, Miles Jack or some other player of the team needed to be suspended before the game and you guys learned about it right before kickoff, would that be unsettling? What does that do to a team?
I say it kind of sets the team back, but at the same time, having a defense and people to back up our key players like we do, it wouldn't hurt us as much. We would just fix the mistake and just go about the game.
Yeah, that's a great point. And speaking of defense, which you were on, my favorite defense to watch in the entire NFL this year was Jacksonville. What was it like? What was the secret sauce behind Calais Campbell's like brow-raising year? I mean, he was en fuego and so much fun to watch. What did you learn from watching Calais?
He's a hard worker. Comes to work every day to do his best and give his all. And he's a great leader. You know, he's a mental and physical leader out there on the field. So I think that's a key part in what he does.
And you both started at the same time, right? He came in last year. Yeah. You both started with the Jacksonville at the same year, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good to be in his class. I like that.
Yes.
We're talking to Blair Brown, inside linebacker of the Jaguars. So, Blair, coming into the season, there were positive expectations for the Jaguars, but I don't think anybody expected you to make it to the AFC Championship game. When did you realize that this was going to be a team that was special?
I believe it. We thought it was going to be special during camp when we first all got together and we were going through, you know, every day just working hard and just grinding together. And it just felt like a team, felt like a family, you know.
Let me ask you about camp, too, real quick, Blair. So there was actually a quarterback competition towards the end of camp where Bortles was going to get benched. Not even sure that he would be the starting quarterback when the season began. Obviously, a great big turnaround, which ended in, you know, one game from the Super Bowl. Do you think Jacksonville is going to pick up Bortles' fifth-year option? $19 million. That's some big money.
I believe that the team's going to do what's best for the team, you know, what's best for the organization. And as of right now, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough quandary because, you know, it's the tale of two Blakes. We see a lot of Blakes that you want to lock up for a long term, and then other times you just want to go, But anyway, you're a good teammate, and you're exactly to do the right thing for the team. What do you think, looking back on the game against the Patriots, one game away from the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game, what do you wish the team would have done differently? What do you think would have made the difference, or do you think that the Patriots just flat out outplayed you? What do you think?
I feel like near the end of the game, it started to get a little hectic with all the calls and everything. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of just – everything kind of just collapsed, I guess, at the end of the game, you know. So I'm really not sure. I feel like it had to do with a lot of things that happened during the game.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that the officiating started to just unravel, not in Jacksonville's favor. It was unfortunate. And I think last night in the Super Bowl, we saw a really evenly called game and really one where the officials weren't very involved, which was kind of nice.
We're talking to Blair Brown. He's the inside linebacker of the Jaguars. So, Blair, going back to that Patriots game and that matchup, down the stretch, the Patriots offensive line did perform pretty well. Brady had some time. What did the Patriots do that make them so exceptional in the fourth quarter?
I think they just kept on playing. Their offensive line did provide Brady with a lot of time in the backfield, and I think that gave them a good chance of doing what they did. And you can't give somebody like Brady a lot of time back there to do what he has to do.
No, that's very true. Time is his friend for sure.
Exactly.
Okay, so you line up in practice. Leonard Fournette's on the other side. Do you guys face off? I mean, this must be a great matchup, right? Tackling Leonard Fournette in the open field, describe that for us.
we don't tackle in practice, but I think that'd be a big collision. So, I think it'd be kind of cool to see.
That would be cool. I like the team you all have together. You're exciting and fun to watch. Tell me, Blair, what is the difference? So you just completed your first full NFL season straight out of Ohio University, right to Jacksonville. What is the change? What are the biggest changes you've seen from college to the NFL?
It's a job. In college, it was kind of more of just going by my day. But this, you have to come and be ready to work every single day. You got to come ready to focus and give it your all every single day, because you don't know when it's going to be your last. And I had to learn that by being a rookie and seeing people come in and out. My locker neighbors were there one day and gone the next day. So it was like a shock to see.
Wow, that's brutal. I didn't think about that. Well, good news for you. That R gets removed off the roster for you. You're no longer a rookie. Seasoned veteran, yeah, exactly. Now, Blair.
We're talking to Blair Brown, inside linebacker of the Jaguars. So general manager Tom Coughlin, the venerable one, he's been around forever, had all those great years with the Giants. Now he's there with the Jaguars. What role does he play? How much do you see him around the locker room and in scheming? Is he more of a passive general manager, or is he pretty active in game plans?
He's there every single day, every single meeting. He's actually very, very into what we do as a team and as an organization.
Well, Blair Brown, inside linebacker of the Jaguars, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time to join the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Thank you so much, Blair.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, the Jaguars had a great season. I mean, nobody thought they were going to get one game away from the Super Bowl. The amazing thing to me was that great Jaguar defense really wasn't able to muster a great pass rush against Brady in that fourth quarter.
Well, I think the officiating, I really think that made a big difference, because A.J. Boye, if you remember, right before the Jaguars were doing just great, had a nice lead, and right before the half, I mean, A.J. Boye did a beautiful, pass defense and was called for, a pass interference. And what happened? First down for the Patriots, and they score, and all the momentum goes into that locker room for the Patriots.
That's
a killer.
Yeah. I loved his answer when I asked him if the Jaguars had lined up against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, what would have been the outcome? He said Jaguars would win.
Right. And I love that. And how great for him as a rookie to be on a team like this and to learn from a defense that is so formidable. I mean, that's a great thing to step into.
No, he's part of a great defense, a young defense. They're going to be good for a number of years. Mm-hmm. To me, the question with the Jaguars is, are they going to keep Bortles? Are they going to bring him back? They've got him for a fifth-year rookie option, $19 million. There are better quarterbacks out there. They could go make a trade for Nick Foles, although you say he should not be traded, but he could be.
He could be.
He could be.
And there's a nice rookie class coming in.
There was a great rookie class coming in. The thing is, I think that team needs somebody who's ready to win now. To me,
yes, I agree.
They are in the Kirk Cousins chase. They're in the Nick Foles chase. Maybe even the Case Keenum chase. I think those guys are upgrades to what they have with Blake Bortles.
So if you're Tom Coughlin,
yes,
do you pay $19 million for Bortles? Is he worth that?
So no, I would look for an alternative. I actually wouldn't mind having Bortles come back. I'd probably negotiate a lower salary if I could. But I honestly think that the Jaguars have a short window, because windows are always short in the NFL unless you're the Patriots.
Agreed.
They have a window here where the talent's all stacked up on defense. They've got a great running back in Leonard Fournette. They probably could upgrade the offensive line a little bit or go get some offensive weapons on the wide receiving core. But the quarterback position, I just think they've got to figure out a better answer. A Nick Foles, a Kirk Cousins, maybe even a Case Keenum. I think those will all be upgrades to Blake Bortles.
But, I do have confidence in Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone. I mean, you look at their big money free agent pickups this offseason, A.J. Boye at safety,
yep.
Calais Campbell on the defense, sack master, and Barry Church. I mean, fantastic pickups, 3 for 3 on that. So yep. They are great talent evaluators. I have all the faith that they're going to do the right thing with this quarterback situation. That was a tough question to ask Blair as a rookie. You're definitely not going to say, but he answered it exactly how he should. He gave a Belichick answer. You're going to do what is best for the team.
Sure. That's what he's got to say.
That's
when we come back, we will have our award-winning He Said, She Said segment.
But with a special twist this time.
On the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I'm excited for our segment.
Yes, this is the segment that lights you up, isn't it?
Yeah, I like this one.
Award-winning, highly acclaimed, much anticipated, he said, she said segment.
Yes, but Ron's giving us a twist today. I like it.
Ron, wearing his Belichick sweater, his sleeves cut off. You have a very special one. So the moment of the game, the turning point of the game, was the strip sack. Brandon Graham on Tom Brady. What do you got for us, Ron? He said.
Brady's in the gun. Four-man rush. Brady moves up. He's hit. The ball jarred free. It's picked up by Philadelphia. Picked up on the play by Barnett. It was loose, and Brady was trying to throw. He was hit, the ball jarred free. And Barnett, the rookie, picks it up for the Eagles.
So that was Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. You got another one for us, Ron?
Que capturó hoy Gronkowski el segundo.
Brady. Oh, fumble.
Y la tienen los Eagles de Filadelfia. Fumble y la tienen los Eagles de Filadelfia. Prácticamente sellando el triunfo en este Super Bowl.
Ay, qué bueno. Aquí hablamos español. Vamos a
52,
hablar deportes,
Super Bowl,
¿no?
52. But fumble is still fumble in Spanish.
It
just
works.
Fumble.
Fumble. All right, what else you got, Ron?
Here's Brazilian.
Aí o Brady numa segunda para duas.
Mas fumble! Fumble é vida! A bola é dos Eagles! Derek Barnett fica com a bola. O primeiro sack do Super Bowl 52.
Finalmente, a pressão chega em cima do Brady.
Now, obviously, that's Portuguese.
You got one more for us?
I do. This one, again, we'll be able to understand everything. This is Australian.
Flips, wider out his Dorsett. Brady stands. Ball knocked out of his hands. Eagles recover. The Eagles get the ball back. The script is flipped. Tom Brady, literally been ripped from his grasp. The Eagles with a 5-point lead.
You know,
I love that. I got to say, the Aussie one is my favorite.
Well, I noticed
he was bereft on the turf.
Yes, you sort of went flush when you heard that accent, didn't you?
Women like that kind of thing.
I know they do.
Yeah. How many young millennials right now are Googling what bereft means?
Right.
They will. You know, the other thing that this just underscored to me, though, was the international following of the NFL. Think the whole freaking country. I mean, you think of the world. Brazil, people way down there watching the Super Bowl.
And their football is football, you know, the soccer. That's it.
Other versions I have, I just, you know, it would take too long to cut them all out. But there's, you know, Hungarian play-by-play, Austrian play-by-play, German play-by-play. I mean, yeah, it really is an international event.
That is amazing. That's very cool. I love that.
It's an international event. It's also an event that transcends people of all backgrounds, levels of fame and such. And we've got another. He said, this is Kobe Bryant, when an avid Eagles fan, Kobe Bryant,
Philly boy,
celebrating the Eagles win. You got one for us, Ron.
Yeah, this is his reaction at the final play, the Hail Mary.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Guess what? We won the f***ing Super Bowl. That's it. We f***ing Super Bowl. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Don't scare her, babe.
Okay. I had a very, you can attest, I had a Kobe-like reaction. I was like, no, when that Hail Mary went up.
Yeah, you thought Gronk had it.
Yep, I did.
But you didn't drop any F-bombs.
No, I didn't.
I didn't need to go beep.
I know, but you always love beep. It. He said, she said, with some beeps.
It's my weekly
it
fix.
It completes your evening.
I need a
it completes
beep.
You, David. Beeps complete you.
But, as I listen to that, I'm sort of wondering, Who was there recording all that? I mean, it was
one of his daughters.
It sounded like an intimate moment around the living room.
That was his wife, Vanessa, recording it.
Oh, okay. It was his wife doing it. Yep. Good for her.
She of the big diamond ring?
Yep. That's we don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because she didn't get that just for nothing. Anyway, moving on.
All right, let's go to another. He said, she said, this is Aaron Rodgers, who really last week was asked a bit about his team and the coaching changes in the Packers. There's been a coaching change of the offensive his quarterback coach has been moved out. He's gone on to the Bengals. Let's hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
Well, my quarterback coach didn't get retained. I thought that was an interesting change, really without consulting me. There's a close connection between quarterback and quarterback coach, and that was an interesting decision.
Interesting is an interesting word. That means what the were they thinking?
What the
beep? And it's exactly what I was talking about earlier with Nick Saban, you know, firing or getting rid of Lane Kiffin the week of the national championship game. While he probably had every right to do so, that connection between your quarterback coach, you know, OC, and the quarter—it's tight. It's very key. It's very important. Why they didn't consult Aaron Rodgers is beyond.
And Aaron Rodgers is not just a quarterback in the league. He's either the one, two, or three best quarterback in the league.
Correct.
And he is the Packers. I mean, look at their season when they had him, and then when they didn't have him. I mean,
the great white hope
to not. And consult him about his own personal coach on that team is really beyond me. It's sort of an odd thing from the blue. I can't understand why they wouldn't.
And who is the new coach that they brought in? Is he from the Giants or the Bills? Do you know, Ron? There is a new quarterback coach.
Yes, and they've got a new defensive coordinator.
Yes.
So they are making some changes there, and they probably need to make some changes, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. The defense has not been what it used to be.
But it was surprising because Aaron Rodgers, other than injury, has been doing great. So I'm surprised that that coach was let go. It's a head-scratcher.
Can't speak for that one. Mm-hmm. Let's go to another, he said. We've got Eli Manning, who the Giants have said they want to have return and be their starting quarterback this year. He was asked about what will the Giants do with their number two pick, because all suggests that the Giants will be picking a young quarterback. Let's see what Manning had to say.
No, never been involved in the draft. Just
Do you want to?
No, just because it wouldn't be fair for me to say, hey, you need to draft this person or you need to draft this position. I mean, that's what you have. That's the GM's job. That's what the scouts' jobs are. That's what they do all year round.
How would you feel if they took a quarterback at number two?
You know, I'm fine with that. I understand the situation. I know how old I am. I know, how many more years of football do I have left? Who knows? I don't know. So I understand you got to prepare for the future. And so if they want to take a quarterback number two, then hey, it's my job to still my job to play quarterback and go out there and compete and like I've done every other year.
I mean, it wouldn't be his first choice, clearly. Look at the Giants. They could, with the number two pick, trade back and probably get two number one picks and then pick up a great offensive lineman. Goodness knows, Manning needs help on the front line protection.
Everywhere on that offense.
Then they could draft a stud, maybe a linebacker, the linebacker out of Georgia, Smith, or they could go get somebody else that would help the team. For Manning, if they draft a Sam Darnold or a Josh Rosen, those two will never contribute to Manning's career. In fact, they may accelerate the end of his career.
No, that's Manning's exit strategy if they take a quarterback.
Right.
That's exactly what that is. And he's a class act to say, I'm not involved in it, but if that's what they do, it's my job to still play the position and do that. But he's a competitor. He is thinking, you do that, you've sold me out. Like, I'm done. I mean, take a look at Alex Smith. I mean, that's exactly what happened to him.
Right.
With Patrick Mahomes. And even though he had a great year statistically for him, you see where he is now. He's a Washington Redskin.
Yep. Now maybe the writing was on the wall.
So tough to play in like a lame duck sort of role.
Right.
Which is that's what they would be telling Eli.
Well, that is the NFL, though. Teams.
And that is.
Actually, if you were the general manager of the Giants, I presume you would pick quarterback number two. I mean, it's so rare that you get to be up this high and get a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you have conviction about Darnold or Rosen, or even Josh Allen, you've got to take him.
Mm-hmm. New head coach, it's new beginnings.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, One other he said is that, well, the recruiting game has already started. Patrick Peterson is recruiting quarterbacks for the Cardinals. I mean,
he should. They need one.
Well, they desperately need one. Carson Palmer's career is over. He's retired.
Blaine Gabbert is not their man.
Blaine Gabbert is not the guy.
Not the franchise guy.
And the Cardinals have some pieces. I mean, they're a team that, if they could get a quarterback, could be in the playoffs next year. So Patrick Peterson has given a big shout-out to Kirk Cousins, especially. Kirk Cousins, a free agent at the moment. He may get the tag from the Redskins, but he will, without a doubt, not play for the Redskins next year now that they picked up Alex Smith. And he is probably the best available quarterback until or if Nick Foles becomes available in trade.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So you've got three teams in my mind, the Cardinals, the Broncos, and the Jaguars, all equipped to win, but with one big hole, which is the quarterback position. And that's where, I guess, a Foles, a Keenum, or Kirk Cousins could slide right in and make an impact.
And it also shows, too, if you take a look at the Rams and how they have completely turned around a team with a coaching change. And I'm not saying with that team they all need coaching changes.
Yep.
But you really have to look and get the right an offensive-minded coach, and if he is not, you make sure that your quarterback coach or your OC knows how to tailor a system to the quarterback if that's what you're going to build around.
Well, and Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator, probably more so than Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, did that with Case Keenum. And actually, they had good productivity out of Sam Bradford when he was healthy.
Yeah, they did.
So they figure out how to make a scheme work. They're with the Cardinals, with the Broncos. Those are teams really do need a different answer, though.
And the Bills probably are going to need a different answer as well. I don't think they're in love with Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
So right. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, the Jets need an answer. There's still a lot of holes out there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of quarterbacks in the draft, though.
Mel Kiper comes up. A week or two ago, said Josh Allen was his number one quarterback. That's an outlier. A lot of people had Allen in the back half of the first round. Darnold and Rosen have been everyone's first choices. Yep. You didn't want Darnold to come out.
No.
You want him to spend one more year at USC. But he's going to go top five, so it's awfully hard to turn down that money and that opportunity.
I understand that. It's interesting, though. There was not a lot of Josh Allen talk during the college football season.
Nope.
But he's all the rage now. He's the hot topic.
Well, he's a physical specimen.
Yes,
he looks the part. Let me give you one more he said. And I don't have the audio on it, but I think everybody heard it. It was very, very interesting. Asked after the game, albeit it was an after-the-game moment, Rob Gronkowski said he's going to be considering retirement. He's not sure if he's going to come back. What do you see? Actually, Ron's got some audio for us. Give us a little Rob Gronkowski.
Has retirement already crossed your mind? You've actually put thought into it?
We just lost. I mean, I just want to just sit back, relax the next couple of weeks, and I really, really got nothing to say about that right now.
Rob, there was a report before the game that you could potentially retire. Is there any accuracy to that?
I don't know how you heard that, but I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future for sure. We'll sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Two observations on that. It's what he didn't say. He didn't say, no, I'm not retiring.
Yep.
I'm 20-something years old or 30 years old. He didn't. And he said, how did you hear that? Because it was a conversation that happened in the locker room, in the Patriots locker room. And that was before he answered, how did you hear that?
Mm.
So he's not refuting these. This is a story to watch.
I'll tell you what, that Patriots offense would not be same without Rob Gronkowski.
They're going to have a lot of changes anyway, so...
All right, when we come back, we will empty out the notebook, pick up the last pieces of the night. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So watching the Super Bowl yesterday with you was really fun.
It was so much fun. Great time.
And I noted that you paid close attention not only to the game, but also to the commercials. Did you have a favorite?
I did. I had two favorites.
Okay.
First of all, who could not love the T-Mobile babies?
Oh, you throw babies in, it's
I
a
know.
Sure winner.
Babies, puppies, that you can't go wrong. But my ultimate favorite was the NFL commercial.
Yeah.
Based on the Dirty Dancing, I had the time of my life. OBJ and Eli Manning.
They made a lovely couple.
They made a lovely couple, but you know what? I think there's a subliminal message there.
Really?
I think that's Eli's farewell.
one last dance?
I think it is.
So you think Eli's leaving the Giants and he wants to send that signal through the dance?
I do.
Wow.
That's my drama moment. That's my girl drama.
That's pretty
good.
What
I think was going on. Because it actually got me a little choked up. I love that song. Dirty Dancing brought back the memories. Patrick Swayze, may he rest in peace. But this was just cool.
You're getting a little teary-eyed right now.
I know. Getting a little verklempt. But Eli Manning, like, trying to break it down was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He's not the dancer.
Nope. He's got white man's disease.
No,
and I can appreciate that.
That's what it is.
How about you?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't the commercials, but the breaks where they would put the camera on Giselle. I mean, she was looking pretty good up there. And interestingly, your man friend was sitting next to me on the couch, and I pointed out Giselle to him. He didn't know her. But he seemed to like her.
I am proud of him.
Yeah, he didn't know who she was.
Yes, he did call her Gazelle, which I had to remind her she is not an African animal. This is actually a supermodel.
No, she's
Gazelle. Jeez.
Yeah, he did call her Gazelle.
So that's a good sign, though. He doesn't know. He's not up on that.
But he now knows.
He now knows. Darn.
I mean, the camera kept going back to her. She's got to be the most celebrated spouse of an athlete.
Clearly, although Julie Ertz got a lot of a lot of time. Julie Johnson, women, member of the women's national soccer team, Zach Ertz's wife, she got a lot of face time.
She did, and she deserved
not
it.
Giselle level, but she's getting there.
Well, you came in and rescued the show. You were our Giselle tonight. Thank you for being here, Carla. After missing the first hour,
I think Giselle because I'm kind of slow, but that's all.
All right, great to be with you. And coming up next, Coach Les.